Shabbat Shalom. It's good to see everyone this morning. What an honor again and a privilege to come and sit and learn of his Torah, learn of his likes and his dislikes. You know, with that statement, understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes, when we sing that song, I want to be close to you. Listen. We can't come close to him and draw near to him any kind of way we can or want to. The Bible tells us to. He has order. He has order in his word. He has order in the way you need to come to me. You can't just come to me any which way you want. And doing in this Leviticus, talking about the priests and bringing their offerings and their ascending offering and how they had to arrange the wood. Everything had to be in order. Look, this is what we do. Look, this out. I woke up this morning and he says, I'm meditating and going over script. And he's like, go get wood outside. I'm like, go write stuff on it. So, you know, this is all. I said, man, it's like 6:45 in the morning. I can't get no saw out and start sawing. Bring out little pieces of wood and put these names on it. And it just kept going. It's just, go get wood. I said, all right, I'll go. Lo and behold, you know, they was doing work on the house and the wood was just already cut. It was just all sitting outside. So I said, oh, it's perfect. Look, so we get our wood, we get Sukkot, we get Shavuot. Let's start with this one. We get Shabbat. Got to start with this one. If you're not doing this one first, you can forget about Sukkot, you can forget about Shavuot, you can forget about Yom Teruah, you can forget about Yom Kippur, you can forget about unleavened bread, you can forget about Passover. You can forget about all these. First fruits, Purim. Now, we know Purim is not part of these feasts, but how many know Purim? You see, Yehovah did a miracle in the lives behind Esther. And he did a miracle in our lives. So, yes, Purim, very important, just as important as all the rest of these. Then we have men's meeting. Look, all these from here that I'm about to read, these are just... You mentioned it in the service about the man with the 49ers that gave that big speech. What he called it? It's gonna come to me. I'm gonna tell you. You have men's meeting. They said, oh, that's not important. Bible study. Just Wednesday night. It's not important. Ladies meeting. It's not important. Reading my Bible. Food laws, praying, all those are a necessity. You need those. Listen, we have those men's meetings. That's when men can talk about things they might be going through. Scriptures are brought up. Ladies, same thing. Those are important. We need those in our life. But this is how we bring it. This is how we come with our wood. And remember, we are royal priesthood. We are royal priesthood. I read that scripture last week and didn't even know it was in this Torah portion coming. So you're about to read it again. So the Levitical priests, they had to set the wood in order. Why? Because if they didn't set it in order and put the offerings on it in order, he would not accept it. He said it was a pleasing aroma. Listen, you want your aromas to be pleasing. But this is what we do. We bring all this to him. And we just want to throw, this is how we set it up. This is our setup. Yeshua's going to fix it. Elohim's going to fix it. No, the priesthood had to get here and had to put it to time. And they had to set it just like Yehovah told them to. They had to put it in. Because remember, you want this to be a pleasing aroma to him. So you want it perfect. You're going to take your time with it. Food laws. He tells you what to eat, what not to eat. He tells you what days to worship me on, what day not to worship me on. Not just any day. Shabbat. It's in the scripture. It's a commandment. And I just added the ladies' meeting, men's meeting, reading, praying, because we need those also. It builds you up. Get your character right. All those things. That word's going to come to me because I got to get it. But we go ahead and get started. But listen, we got to set that in order. Got to take our time with it. Can't just come here and just throw our wood down and expect him that the offering that we give him, he's going to fix everything for us. Because remember, I want this to be, why? Because my tabernacle is the place I want him to dwell. When it was right, he spoke to Moshe through the tabernacle. His presence dwelled in that tabernacle. And we want his presence to dwell. We don't want to just come here and just throw our wood down and expect him to fix it, him take care of it. No, you take care of your wood. You fix your wood. Royal priesthood. This is just not for the priests. This is for us. Because we are 1 Peter 2:9. Will be. Torah portion number 25 is Zav, Hebrew for command. In the Torah is Leviticus 6:1 through 8:36. In the half Torah is Jeremiah 7:21 through 28 and 9:22 through 23. And the topics in this week's portion is Elohim instructs Moshe to command Aharon and his sons regarding their duties and rights as the Kohanim priests who offer the korbanot animal and meal offering in the sanctuary. The fire on the altar must be kept burning at all times. The fire on the altar, it must be kept burning at all times. So if it was your turn to work the night shift, you have better make sure you was rested all day long to keep that fire burning. Why? Does the adversary sleep? You think he closes his eyes and go take a good night rest at nighttime? Listen, you stay up to 10, 11 o'clock, he's working on you if you're not prayed up, if you're not reading your Bible. He don't care day, night. He doesn't care. He's on you. He's waiting. And listen, probably nighttime is the worst time because everything is nice and quiet and it is you. You just sitting there. He doesn't care. In it are burned the holy, consumed, ascending offering, veins of fat from the peace, sin, and guilt offerings, and the handful separated from the meal offering. The Kohanim eat the meat of the sin and guilt offerings, and the remainder of the meal offerings, the peace offering, is eaten by the one who brought it, except for specified portions given to the Kohanim. The holy meat of the offerings must be eaten by ritual pure persons in their designated holy place and within their specific time. Specified time. Aaron and his sons remain within the sanctuary compound for 7 days, during which Moshe initiates them into the priesthood. So let's get down right where we left off last night. We left off right here in this Leviticus, reading the context of Leviticus 6, and we stopped right here on verse 24. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to Aharon and his sons, saying, this is the Torah of the sin offering, in the place where the ascending offering is slain. The sin offering is slain before Yehovah, it is most set apart. The priest who is making atonement eats it in the set apart place. It is eaten in the courtyard of the tent of appointment." Listen, the Torah, keeping his Torah, it lets you know exactly how in order Yehovah was. Even to where they had to eat this. They couldn't just eat it anywhere they wanted. He said, you have a set apart place to eat this. Sorry. All that touches its flesh is to be set apart. And when its blood is sprinkled on the garment, you wash that on which it was sprinkled in a set apart place. But the earthen vessel in which it is cooked is to be broken. And it is cooked in a bronze pot, then it's scored and rinsed in water. Every male among the priests eats it. It is most set apart. Notice, if it's in an earthen vessel, they had to break it. Couldn't keep it. Couldn't wash it out. Only the bronze. The bronze is the only one that could have been washed out, scored, and then rinsed in water. And no sin offering from which any of the blood is brought into the tent of appointment to make atonement in the set apart place is eaten, it is burned with fire. The ascending offering. The first offering is the ascending offering, and in the Hebrew, the word for ascending offering, which is often also translated as burnt offering, is olah, Strong's H5930, and means whole burnt offering, an offering of the entire part of a sacrifice that was clean and acceptable for sacrifice. Listen, they couldn't just bring any offering, any animal. It had to be a clean one. A clean one and acceptable. How you know if it wasn't acceptable? He wouldn't accept it. His presence wouldn't dwell. Listen, you know when you did something that's not acceptable to Yehovah. His set-apart spirit will let you know when you messed up, when you said something you shouldn't have said, when you act the way you shouldn't have acted. Instantly. It's not going to tell you a week. He's not going to wait an hour. You will know the very moment it leaves your mouth. The set-apart spirit will let you know you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. Instantly it does that for you. He'll let you know that I accept that or I disapprove of that with the way you acted. Why? Set-apart people don't act that way. Followers of Yeshua doesn't act that way. Yeshua never acted out of character. Ever. And how often we do that? How often we act out of character? Is that acceptable? Is that a pleasing aroma to him? Not at all. Not even close. This olah offering speaks of that which goes up or ascends. And in the essence of these offerings unto Yehovah, this carries the meaning of to cause to ascend up to Yehovah as a flame and smoke ascent by burning. The olah offering represents a giving totally of oneself to Yehovah. And with the Torah of the ascending offering being clear and that the fire is not to be put out but kept burning, then we are able to recognize how we are to continually keep our eyes fixed on and looking to our Master Yeshua Messiah, the Prince and Perfecter of our belief, as we offer up our lives as a daily living sacrifice. How often should you do it? Daily. Daily offer up a living sacrifice to Yehovah. Why? Because it says that we should be given totally about oneself. Why? He gave Yeshua totally, fully. He gave his best. He gave his all. How dare we think that we don't have to give him our all? You know, Pastor mentioned last night about it's time to step on the gas. We're so far behind. It's time to give it a little more throttle. How about we step on the gas and give it a full throttle? Listen, we gave a lot of full throttles to a lot of other things without no hesitation. We gave it our all. Some of us didn't even care if it would have cost us our life. Me? Didn't care. Could care less. I gave it my all. Full throttle. When it didn't have no more pedal, gas on the floor, I was reaching in the back. Anybody ever did that with a little go-kart? Reaching the back for the governor. I guess that's what it's called, a governor. You know, you put a little more, get a little more out of it. You didn't care. You was trying to give it more. You wanted more. But when it comes to him, we want to cruise. We want to cruise. I'm not breaking the speed limit. Not me. Not when it comes to him. But when it comes to what I want, boy, you set that bad boy on 90 quick. We got to get this right. It is time to give it the gas. We are behind. Way behind. We got to catch up. We have to catch up. And how we do that? By make sure our wood is in order. Make sure we're getting it in order. To be put out but keeping burning when they are able to recognize how we are to continually keep our eyes fixed on and looking to our Master, Yeshua Messiah, the Prince and Perfecter of our belief, as we offer up our lives as a daily living offering, for this is our reasonable worship. A living sacrifice, Romans 12:1. I call upon you, therefore, brothers, through the compassion of Elohim. Through the compassion. Listen, I am so thankful he is who he is. Compassionate, loving, patience. When I needed it the most, he was showed compassion to me. When I was disobedient, he showed compassion to me. When I couldn't make my mind up, he showed compassion to me. You think we can learn some things? You think we can show some compassion every now and again? Listen, just show a little bit. We struggle with showing compassion. Struggle. Thinking that they should just get it. Or why they don't have it yet. What they waiting on. That's them. Let them deal with it. Show a little compassion. Why? To present your bodies a living offering. Set apart. Well pleasing to Elohim, your reasonable worship. Show compassion. Compassion. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you prove what is that good and well-pleasing and perfect desire of Elohim. How you prove what is well-pleasing and perfect desire of Elohim? The Torah. Understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes. That is his perfect desire. You want to prove your perfect desire of Elohim? What is well-pleasing to him? Torah. Tells you how to set your wood in order. What offering to bring. How to set the offering in order. They couldn't even do that. They couldn't just dice up the animal and just throw it on there. It was put in order. We don't cook that way these days. We just throw that bad boy in the pot. Cook it up. No, everything had to be in order. Yehovah. Man, don't go, trying to cook in order. In the ancient pictograph script, the Hebrew word for ascending offering, Olah, Strong's H5930, looks like this. The ayin, the original pictograph for this letter, and represents the idea of seeing and watching, as well as knowledge, as the eye is the window of knowledge. That's why we say, give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to want to know you more. Not just a heart to know you, the heart got to want to know him more. But I, why? Because eye is the window of knowledge. Eye is the window of a lot of other things too. If we're not careful, eyes can get you in trouble. Be careful what you put your eyes to. Be careful what you're watching. Be careful what you're reading. All that is window to your knowledge. You're going to get knowledge of something. If you ain't doing this on a daily basis and you're doing other things, you're getting some knowledge. But not of something that is pleasing to him. Not as nothing that is a sweet aroma to him. Be careful what knowledge you're putting in, what you're getting knowledge of. The Lamed, the ancient script has this letter and is pictured as a shepherd's staff, can give the meaning of tool to war, and can represent that which pushes or pulls a flock in a direction, and can speak of authority, or a yoke that is used to lead and guide, as well as the ability to bring back to authority. I mean, thankful for that shepherd's staff. Brought me back to authority. The ancient script has this letter, The ancient script has this letter, which is a man standing with his arms raised out. The meaning of this letter is behold, look, breath, sight, and reveal or revelation. from the idea of revealing a great sight, of pointing it out. It also carries for us the meaning of surrender. As we lift up our hands and submit to Yehovah, as we lift our hands in praise, declaring his authority under which we humbly submit. When considering the ascending offering and the clear Torah of this offering that requires the fire to never be put out, we are able to recognize standards. It just came to me. That's what ladies meetings, men's meet. I told you it was going to come to me. Reading my Bible and praying, that's setting standards in my life. That's what this is. Bible study, men's meeting, ladies meeting, praying and reading your Bible is setting standards in your life. Yes, you need these. Just as important as these, because you just don't throw this wood down. You set that in order. Standards. I knew it was going to come back. Thank you, Father. I knew you was going to give it to me. Listen, only, what about 20 slides? No, I saw it on 40, so it's 51. 11 slides later. He's never late. He's always on time. Thank you. When considering the ascending offering and the clear Torah of this offering that requires the fire to never be put out, we are able to recognize the clear lesson portrayed in the pictographic rendering of this word, Olah, which teaches us how we are to have our eyes continually fixed upon our shepherd, who is to be praised. Does that mean you take your eyes off of him if it's continually fixed? No, that means you keep it on him at all times. Remember the demonstration that him and Brother Scott did? When he walked this way, Brother Scott walked that way. When he went this way, Brother Scott walked this way. When he stopped, Brother Scott stopped. That's continually fixed on the master. You walk just like he walked. You talk just like he talked. When he stops, you stop. You don't keep going. He stopped for a reason. He knows what's best. He knows what's ahead. You don't know what's ahead. We live day by day. He knows the future. Remember the prophecy? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 steps ahead of you for the rest of your life. Remember that. Don't ever forget that. He's 7 steps ahead of us for the rest of our lives. Fixed, continually fixed upon our shepherd who is to be praised. In the terms of the ascending offering, these letters can render the meaning, looking to the good shepherd who is to be praised. Looking to the good shepherd who is to be praised. Why should we give the good shepherd praise? Because the good shepherd laid down his life for me. The good shepherd didn't only cover my sin. He who knew no sin became sin. He took away my sin. You think we should be giving him the praise, the good shepherd? Absolutely. With everything that is in me. With every breath, every time I wake up, not only give Yehovah praise, but give Yeshua the praise for standing in my place. With the eye representing knowledge and experience, we can also see how this can render our need to continually experience the staff as we lift our hands in surrendered praise. And this ought to be reflected in our lives being a daily living offering that is well-pleasing to our master and good shepherd. Keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. How you keep the fire burning? You keep his Torah. You keep the all. Keep the lamp burning. Verses 9, 12 through 13. Repeat the clear instruction that the fire on the slaughter place is to be kept burning and not put out. The Hebrew word used here for slaughter place, it's mitzbeach, Strong's H4196, which comes from the root verb zavak, Strong's H2076. Meaning to offer a sacrifice and sacrifice. And with the fire that was to be kept burning on it and the ascending offering to be burned on it, we are able to recognize how we are to be a continually daily living offering. Unto Elohim, never letting the fire of his word go out. We are continually, we are to be a continual daily offering, never letting the fire go out. Why? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Don't never let the fire go out. Why? Because people's lives depend upon it. You're not saved just to be safe. No, we got a job to do. We got lost ones out there. We got lost loved ones out there. You let that fire go out, what hope they got? You in darkness and they in darkness. Where y'all going? Nowhere. Continue to let that fire burn. Continually add the wood to it. Psalms 4, verse 5. Offer slaughterings of righteousness and do what? Trust in Yehovah. You got to trust the process. You got to trust that he knows what's best for our lives. You don't know what's best for your life. You got to trust in Yehovah. Let him do the leading and guiding. Trust that he knows what's best. Trust the process. I don't know why, but I'm trusting you. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm trusting you. It's like driving in the fog with your electronics. You have no idea where you're going. You kind of got a sense because you done did it hundreds of times. But you can't see what's in front you when it's socked in fog. You got a radar on, you feel a little comfortable. Because that thing tells you something's in front you. Tells you something's on side of you. Tells you something's behind you. If we can trust that, how much more can we trust him? Listen, those things fail. Yehovah never fails. Never. Never have and never will. That's the best part. Never. Never have and never will. That's what's so good about serving him. So we have to trust in Yehovah. Here in this psalm, the verb translated as offer is the word zavat, Strong's H2076, from which we get the noun that is translated as slaughterings, which is zevak, Strong's H2077. We offer up our lives as a living sacrifice with joy and thanksgiving. We don't offer it up with grumbling, complaining. No, he saved me. He delivered me. That's a big one. Save me and deliver me. Listen, if you give him joy and thanksgiving when something has been had a stronghold on your life and you knew you couldn't have shook it, no matter what you tried, no matter what you did, you couldn't have got rid of that stronghold that was on your life. When the enemy has got a grip on you, listen, you give him joy and thanksgiving because you know he's the one that delivered you. He's the one that saved you. I can relate to that personally. When something has a stronghold in your life, that's not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling. It's like you suffocate. It's like the air is just being sucked out of your life. Every which way you turn. But when he delivers you, you give him that living sacrifice with joy and thanksgiving every single day. Every single day. And we take note that with the zavat offering, there is to be a pure expression of appreciation. Pure expression of appreciation. Being very thankful for where you was to where you are now. What he did for you. Very appreciative. Psalms 107:22. And let them bring slaughterings of thanksgiving and relate his works with rejoicing. Psalms 116:17. I bring you a slaughtering of thanksgiving and call upon the name of Yehovah. In these two verses, we see again the two root words being used. And so we can begin to understand the following text that we see in Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then let us continually offer up a slaughtering offering of praise to Elohim, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. There's no other name like his name. None. It was the responsibility of the priest to ensure that the fire would not burn out. And so one of the most critical roles in the duty of the priest was to make sure that the fire was maintained. The most critical role of the priest was to make sure the fire was maintained. In 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Somebody say, that's me. A royal priesthood. Whose job was to maintain it? The priest. Whose job is to maintain it? Yours. Not the pastor's. You get your wood in order. You set it in order. Not just drop it off and expect pastor to come here and set it in order. Y'all know we got Bible study on Wednesday night. Y'all know we got men's meeting at the end of the month. Know you got ladies meeting the second week of the month. You know we got Shabbat every Friday night and Saturday morning. You set your wood in order. You know when the feast days are coming. You know when it's time to pray. You know when it's time to read your Bible. Not the pastor's job, it's the priest. You're a priest. You, your priest. You, yourself. You take care of that. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a set-apart nation, a people for a possession, that you should proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who called you out of darkness? Who called you out of darkness? Yehovah called you out of darkness. You give him the praise. If he called me out of darkness, I want to make sure I'm getting this right. I want to make sure I'm taking my time and putting my wood in order. We are a chosen and set apart royal priesthood. We as a chosen and a set apart royal priesthood have a responsibility. That's a huge word. Because nobody wants to, you know, take ownership of things. Nobody wants to have responsibilities. Listen, when you become an adult, you have responsibilities. When you're a teenager and when you're, you know, little, you ain't got no responsibility. Mom and dad got all the responsibilities. But lo and behold, you learn quick when you move out the house that you have responsibilities. You got to start doing things on your own. You got to feed yourself. You got to put your own gas in your car. I'm preaching to mine too right there. You got to wash your own clothes sometime. You learn quick responsibility. Listen, when you get saved, you learn quick you have a responsibility. You know you got to pray. You know you got to read your Bible. You know you got to set apart gatherings you got to attend. You know these things. But somehow you want to pass it on to someone else. I don't want that responsibility. They didn't call me. They didn't text me. Should need that. You know it already. Put your wood in order. Put your wood in order. It's your responsibility to put your wood in order. Why? Because it's a pleasing aroma, not to pastor, not to your husband, not to your wife, Not to your mom and dad. No, it's a pleasing aroma to him. You want him to accept it. We don't have to accept it. Yehovah is the one that you got to worry about that accepting. We might not accept it, but it shouldn't matter to you if we accept it or not. It matters to you that he's accepted. You have a responsibility, and that is to keep alive and burning the flame of his presence within us at all times. Your responsibility to keep that flame burning. At all times. We are to guard the flame, be keepers of the flame, and maintain the flame. And this takes diligence and discipline in keeping a watchful eye on what we do in our daily lives. Keep a watchful eye on what we do in our daily lives. What you do every single day matters. It matters. Because if you ain't doing it according to his word, your flame, you're not maintaining your flame, you're not guarding your flame, you're not keeping your flame, you're not doing none of those things. You're walking around in the dark. It takes discipline. I mean, no, it takes discipline to keep these feast days. It takes discipline to follow the food laws. That takes discipline. It's a commandment, not a suggestion. Remember, commandments are not suggestions. It's a commandment. It takes discipline to make Bible study. It takes discipline to make men's meeting. It takes discipline to make ladies' meeting. Standards. It takes discipline to pray and read your Bible. That's tough. Because you want to show up. It's not hard to kind of show up for feast days if you really want to. That's easy. But when you're home alone, and you got the TV remote in your hand, it takes discipline to put that thing down, especially when it's your favorite show. Chicago Fire or Chicago PD or the Cowboys. Oh, boy. It takes discipline to pray. Take discipline to read your Bible. That just don't come to you. You got to set a standard to do that. Take discipline to wake up an hour early to do those things if you're not doing it before you go to bed. Our hearts should constantly be in a state of unceasing preparation and readiness for Yehovah's will in our lives. Unceasing preparation. Always preparing. You don't wait till the feast day is that day to prepare. No, you should be prepared. You got a whole year. You got a whole year to prepare for these things coming up. Unceasing preparation and readiness. Ready. When's Passover? When's Sukkot? When we got to put the Sukkot up? Readiness. Don't need nobody to tell you. I'm ready to put the sukkah up. Ready to take the sukkah down. Unceasing. Why? For Yehovah's will. Not nobody else's will. Listen, we put that on us on the side. We have no problem with doing these things when we know it's his will. And as we know that scripture makes it clear that Yehovah is a consuming fire. Our lives are to be consumed by that fire. And what keeps fire burning well? The fat that burns well keeps the fire burning until the next offering will be brought. And as we have seen that the fat is Yehovah's, what we then can deduce from this is that we are to continually give him what is due. Continually give to him what is due, what's rightfully his, what belongs to him. Don't even belong to us. And that is our all. For he bought us at a price and we are his. We ought to give him our all. Our all is rightfully His. Why? Because He bought us at a price. He gave us His all. No more silver and gold. No more offerings. No more animal slain. The ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. His all. And in return, what He wants? Just obedience. Follow these commands. Show up when these appointed times. Spend some time with me in prayer. Spend some time with me in reading your Bible. Little things. Not asking us to sacrifice ourselves. You know, give our lives as a daily living sacrifice. But not literally, you know. Take your own life. Not asking for none of that. No. Yeshua paid that for you already. That's done for you. Just love me. Just be obedient to me. Just trust the process. This was in regard to the ascending offering. And what we must realize, that we, the living stones, being built up in Him as His dwelling place, are to continually keep the fire burning by offering up our lives in obedience. And when we miss the mark, we are to deal with it straight away. Listen, when you miss the mark, you deal with it right then and there. You don't have to wait a whole year. You don't have to wait a month. No, you miss the mark, you deal with it right then. Why? Because you have Yeshua always making intercessions for you. Continually. The scripture tells us He's continually making intercession for you. Listen, He knows you're going to slip up. He knows when you're going to miss the mark. He knows when you're going to fall short. But you deal with it right then and there. Straight away. Don't wait. Why? Because the enemy is right there. Right there. You wait to deal with it, guess what? Something else is going to pile on top of it. Shabbat. You don't deal with it right away before you know it. One or two Shabbats. That's okay. Next thing you know, you got a whole month you ain't been here. Next thing you know, it's 2 months. Before you know, it's a whole year. And then you don't even realize. It's like, it felt like just a couple of Shabbats to you, and you've been gone a whole year. Shabbat gone out the window, guess what? There goes unleavened bread. There goes Sukkot. There goes Teruah, Kippur, food laws. You back to doing whatever you wanted to do. Living your life the way you want to live. No, you got to deal with it right away. You can't let it linger around. Because then before you know, you're not doing none of these. And then you don't know what happened. I tell you what happened. Those fixed eyes we're supposed to have continuing on the Master, you lost sight of Him. You lost sight of Him. You didn't get your radar tuned up. Got a little foggy, and you lost Him. And let me emphasize, you lost Him. He didn't lose you. And nor was it anybody else's fault. It was your responsibility to read your Bible. Your responsibility to pray. Your responsibility to show up on Shabbat. Your responsibility to keep the feast days. No one else's. You deal with it straight away. Or you'll find yourself that your lamp is going out. Your all is gone. And do the right thing in correcting our missing the mark. Simple. Do the right thing in correcting and missing the mark. 1 Peter 2:1, a living stone and a holy people, having put aside then all evil and all deceit and hypocrisies and envying and all evil with words, as newborn babes desire the unadulterated milk of the word, in order that you grow by it unadulterated milk of the word. What that mean? You don't need to add to it and you don't need to take away from it. You do just as it says. It is pure. His word is pure, it's unadulterated. You ain't got to put your 2 cents into this. He's got all the cents in this. You can keep yours. He's got all of it. Keep your 2 cents. Because it don't matter. Your 2 cents don't matter when it comes to his word. At all. Unadulterated milk of the word. In order that you grow. How many know when you don't get the right nutrients in your body? The right stuff you need, and you stunt your growth. If you don't get the right stuff in here, you stunt your growth. You're wondering why you're not growing in the Lord. Because you're messing around with his word. You're stunting his growth, your growth. You're doing things that you shouldn't. You're adding and taking away. He don't need our help. He created the world. When's the last time you created anything? When's the last time you spoken something into existence? He doesn't need help with it. If indeed you have tasted that the Master is good, join near to him, a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by Elohim and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a set-apart priesthood, to offer up spiritual slaughtering offerings acceptable to Elohim through Yeshua Messiah. Because it is contained in the scripture, "See, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, chosen precious, and he who believes on him shall by no means be put to shame." This preciousness, then, is for you who believe, but to those who are disobedient. But to those who are what? Disobedient. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Listen, and he who believes on him shall by no means be put to shame. Followers of Yeshua, believing on Yeshua, you will not be put to shame. You ain't got to worry about what people saying. You ain't got to worry about if they talking about y'all keeping Shavuot and first fruits and Passover and y'all worshiping on Friday night and Saturday morning. You're not put to shame. He tells you to do those things. He commands us to do those things. Belief in Yeshua. But those who are disobedient, oh boy, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Listen, you're going to do those things one day. When that chief cornerstone returns, the ones that's disobedient, they're going to do it. Or else, not going to be part of his kingdom. You're not doing it. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock that makes for falling, who stumbles because they are disobedient to the word. What are they disobedient to? The word. So which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a set apart nation, a people for a possession, that you should proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you can see all these footnotes. If you need it after we service, I can send a slide to you. Who once were not a people, but now the people of Elohim. Listen, once we were not a people, but now we are a people of Elohim. Who had not obtained compassion, but now obtain compassion. Beloved ones, I appeal to you as a sojourner and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which battle against the being. having your behavior among the nations good, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, let them speak of evildoers to you. It don't matter what they say. It don't matter what they think about you. There's only one thing that matters, what he says and thinks about me. I can care less what anybody else says and thinks about me. We should, but truth be told, it does bother you when people say stuff about you. It does bother you. You're human. You have feelings. But should it override what he says and thinks about you? Just because someone says that you're crazy for keeping Shabbat, should we not keep it? Just because someone says you're crazy for keeping those feast days, should we not keep it? You better believe we ought to keep it. We ought to give it a little more throttle when they say don't keep it. Step on the gas just a little more. Why? Because he called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. He commands me to keep those things. It's an honor to keep those things. Why? Because it's pleasing to him. It's a sweet aroma to him. And now, listen, I'm not coming with, you know, tired or, you know, not again. No, I'm coming with joy. I'm coming with thanksgiving. That he allows me to keep those things. Having your behavior among the nations good, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, let them. By observing your good works. Why? People want to see how faithful you're really going to be. That's why. They want to see how if you wishy-washy in this thing. If you can't make your mind up whether you're going this Passover or that Passover or this feast day or that feast day. Or if you're keeping the food laws. And, you know, nobody wants to really talk about that because, you know, how can they tell me what to eat? We're not telling you what to eat. We're just suggesting that you shouldn't eat that. He tell you you shouldn't eat it. I'm not telling you you shouldn't. You can do what you want. You grown. You deal with him. I ain't got to deal with him. I'm not going to do what he tells me not to do. I'm not going to eat it if he says not to eat it. You can eat whatever you want. Because they're watching. People's watching. Let them, by observing your good works. That's what changes people's lives. Your good works. They're going to see how consistent you are. Esteem Elohim in a day of visitation. In a community of living stones, this is how we ensure the transparency among us so that the fire of truth is kept burning. And the next person may come and offer up or confess his missing the mark to Yehovah and be cleansed through the cleansing fire of his word. Keeping the fire burning speaks of allowing his word to be active in our lives every single day in order that any dross that may be lurking in our lives can surface through the heat of the flame of Yehovah's presence. His word is to be active. How do you activate his word in your life? By doing it, being obedient to it. That's how you activate the word. If you ain't doing it, the word is not activated. It's just dull. It's just there. You got to do something. You have to take responsibility. That's how you make his word active in your life. And notice, it's every single day. Not just some days. Not just the days, oh, I feel like doing it. Because there's going to be days you don't feel like doing it. It's true. Some days you don't feel like it. Some days you're tired. You're not feeling good. But there's days you got to push. You got to push through. You think Yeshua wanted to die? No, he pushed through that. Went to the garden. Sweat was like blood. Praying to the Father. Let this cup pass from me, but not my will. Not my will, let thy will be done. Huh? He pushed through it. He pushed through adversity. The last time somebody whipped you with a whip, he pushed through that. He pushed through all that pain and suffering. For me, for you. But sometimes we don't want to push through nothing. We just want to take the easy way out. I just could stay home. They're going live anyway. We can watch it live. Live is for those that can't make it. If you can't make it, you should be here. Live is for those who doesn't have a church yet. It's a tool that we're using to get the word out. That's what we go live for. Live is not for you to sit at home. Just thought I'd put that in there. Yeah, that was free. No charge. What is also key to understanding the instruction, did I read that? To keep the fire burning is that while everyone went to sleep, it was the duty of the priest who was on duty to keep watch and make sure the fire would not go out. Listen, priest that is in here, it is our duty to make sure the fire is not to go out. You are on duty. We are on duty. It's our job. It's our responsibility. The ball's in our court. The torch is in our hand. What are we going to do with it? You want to be the one responsible for letting the fire go out? I don't want to be the one responsible for letting the fire go out. It was the duty of the priest who was on duty to keep watch and make sure the fire would not go out so that the morning offering would be able to be done correctly and on time. When we see the term, like a thief in the night, in speaking of the day of Yehovah, we are reminded that we are to be watchful and awake and not be found sleeping and the fire going out. What is also critical for us to understand is that while the priest who was on duty may have been alone in the dark, he had a huge responsibility, and so too do we need to recognize that we may often find ourselves alone and almost feel in the dark, so to speak. And this is where the real test of keeping the fire of faith in Yehovah burning comes. Listen, there is going to be time that you feel alone. There is going to be a time where you, it's just you. You can't pick up the phone and call someone to come over. It's you. There's going to be circumstances that you're dealing with. Sometimes people don't understand what you're going through. You're alone. You by yourself. You in the dark. But that's when you call upon Him. That's when you call upon Him. Listen, you call upon the wrong person, they're going to give you the wrong advice. They're going to give you their thought, their spill on it. But when you call upon Him, He's going to give you what you need to get out of it. You're not alone. The enemy wants you to think you're alone, wants to make you feel that you're alone, but you're not alone. He says, I'll never leave you. I don't know what never we don't get. Never. What never means? Never means He's with me every single day of my life, every second. You ain't got to worry about the minutes and the hours. Every second He's with you. Every day of your life He's with you. You're never alone. But that's when the real tests come, though. Real tests don't come when we all gather together. It's not when the real test is. It's when you're by yourself and it's just you. But He's with you. How are you doing the week when you are at work or with others who do not follow Torah? Do you still keep the truth burning bright for all to see that your life is being offered up as a daily living sacrifice? Or do you allow the flame to go out and come each Shabbat and seek to have it reignited? Are we waiting for Shabbat to come around to reignite our fire? Or we are continually letting it burn every day of the week? Or we are continually setting our wood in order every day of the week? Not just some days, not just on Shabbat. Are we continually taking our time and making sure it's in order? Or are we just waiting? Can't wait till Friday night I can get here. Oh, how I need you. Where he's at? He's there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. He's there all those days too. Light your fire. It's simple. It's easy. Responsibility. If your fire is out, it's nobody's fault. Yeah, my husband ain't did this. My wife ain't did that. Light your fire. Brother Scott said something last night. What was the little saying? It was that you said right before, though I follow him, what? Though none go with me. I will follow him though none go with me. Light your fire. If it's out, it's because you let it go out. Nobody's responsibility. Nobody's fault. It's your fault. Don't look for nobody to blame. Look in the mirror when you want to blame somebody. Practice that. Practice looking in the mirror when you want to blame somebody. When you get all raised up and looking for somebody to blame, just walk in your house, go in your bedroom or your bathroom, and look in the mirror. And then don't go no further. Go fix it quick. You ain't got to look for somebody to blame at all. Look at yourself. You let the fire go out. Nobody let the fire go out. Do you still keep the truth burning bright for all to see your life is being offered up as a daily living sacrifice? Or do you allow the flame to go out and come each Shabbat and seek to have it reignited? When Moshe saw the burning bush and how the presence of Yehovah never burned up the bush but kept a flame, he took note and drew near. And he in turn was to take that very same passion and fiery presence of Yehovah to an enslaved people who at first would not hear the truth, yet Moshe had to keep the truth burning very bright for all to see, and it is no different today. We have a mighty responsibility to keep the fire burning and stir up the gift of Elohim which is in us. Stir up the gift of Elohim that is in you. You have a gift that is in you. You got to stir it up. You got to put that thing into motion. Remember the talents? You unbury that bad boy. It's time to unbury that thing. That talent's been buried for a long time. It's time to unbury it. It's time to stir it up. He didn't give you a gift for nothing. He gave it to you for a reason. He gave it to you for a purpose. That gift's been hiding for a long time in some of our lives. We got to let that thing surface. It's time to bring it to the surface. Not time to hide it no more. We've been hiding it for too long. He gave it to us and we didn't let it hid for years. And who did it hurt? Not only you did it hurt. What about the people around you? He gave you a gift of speaking to people's lives. What are you doing with it? Now ain't the time to be quiet. Second Timothy 1:6-7. For this reason, I remind you to stir up the gift of Elohim, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For Elohim has not given us a spirit of cowardness, but of power and of love and of self-control. What he gives it is a spirit of, not of coward, not to be fearful, not to be scared. No, but of power, love, and self-control. Stir up that gift that Elohim has given you. It's time to stir it up. The Greek word used here for stir up. Boy, I was trying not to get to this Greek word. Boy, I was trying so hard. I was trying to save it for Brother Scott or Brother Chad for Wednesday night. But here it is. Okay, stir up. The Greek word. And it's anazoporeo. Strong's G329. It means to kindle afresh, stir up, inflame one's mind. Inflame one's mind. And comes from the word anah, Strong's G303, which denotes upwards. And is also a compound of the root of zoom. Strong's G2226, meaning alive, living creature. And poor, Strong's G442, which means fire and burning. Often this verse is translated as fan into flame, the gift of Elohim. And we can see why in the context of our much needed ability in our daily service as priests to keep alive the burning flame of the truth of His Word. It's our responsibility to keep the truth of His Word burning. To keep the flame burning. Our responsibility. Not to try to pass it on to someone else. It's your responsibility. You're a priest. You're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation. Just like we can get up here and present it to you, you can get up in your community, your workplace, and you can present it just as we can. No different. I ain't got no special gift on me that you don't have. You got a gift also. Use it. The truth of His Word. Keep that flame of the truth of His Word. A continual burning flame signifies His presence as well as His cleansing. Isaiah 4:4-6. When Yehovah has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and rinsed away the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, then Yehovah shall create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the esteem shall be a covering and a booth for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge and for a shelter from storm and rain. I want that over my life. I want a place of shelter through the storm and rain. When there's chaos going on around me, I run to Him. When there's darkness all around me, I run to Him. I let Him be my light. When there's heat, I let Him be my cloud. He did it for them. He led them in the wilderness. Fire at night, cloud in the daytime. He led them. What makes us think He's not going to lead us? We're His children. We belong to Him. He cares about us just as much as He cares for them in the wilderness. Let Him do our leading and guiding. The Greek word that's translated as burning in the Septuagint, Greek translation of the Tanakh, in verses 9, 12, and 13, is Kao, Strong's G2545, which means burn, kindle, light. And we see this word being used in Luke 12:35-36. Let your loins be girded and your lamps burning. And be like men waiting for their master when he shall return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they open to him immediately. When he comes and knocks, they open to him immediately. Listen, when your lamp is dim and your light is going out, y'all ain't, you don't have that much all left. When he's knocking, you ain't open the door. You scared to open that door. But when your flame is burning, when your wood's in order, when your house is in order, when you got your house all cleaned up, smelling good, you answer quickly, immediately, spiritually and physically. If you got a dirty house and somebody knocking, you ain't going to the door. You ain't answering. You're whispering. You're peeping out the window. Oh, but when it's all nice and ready and prepared, you go immediately to the room. You're ready for company. You holler, come in. You ain't even going to the door. Come in. Listen, get your house in order. That way when he knocks, all you got to say is come in. You ain't even got to run to the door. Just invite him in. Be ready and willing to accept whatever he has for you. Because you don't know that time he wants to visit you. Is that time that you need for the week coming up ahead. That visitation you need that day prepares for the weeks that is coming ahead. And you don't want to miss it. You want your wood in order. You want your wood in order. It is also translated as light in verse 15. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. It is impossible for a city to be hidden on a mountain. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it shines all to all those in the house. Let your light so shine before men, so that they see your good works and praise your Father who is in the heaven. That's why you let your light shine before men. Listen, you don't get the glory. Yeshua never took the glory. Why you call me good? There's only one good. One good, and that's my Father who's in the heaven. So when they see in your good works, don't pat yourself on the back. Let them know why you got what you got. Let them know why you walking in healing. Let them know why everywhere you turn around, you're just being blessed everywhere you go. Let people know it's not nothing I did. It's all what he does for me. All glory and honor belongs to him. It's nothing I did. It's what my Father is doing for me. I couldn't do this. Be careful that we patting ourselves on the back or giving ourselves the glory. Be very, very careful. Because he'll get it back pretty quick. He'll let you know that, hey, boy, I'm the one that gave you that. Remember, Daddy paid for that call. Daddy just deposited some gas money in that account. I could take it back pretty quick. Just a touch of a butt. That's how the Father thinks too. No different. Get your mind right, son. I gave you that. I gave you that gift. Be careful how you using that gift. Don't use it to self-exhort yourself. You better use it for my glory. Because I'll take that gift from you. This parable highlights for us the clear message of how we are to keep our lamps burning and let your lights of obedience shine brightly before all. These words of our Master and Elohim Yeshua Messiah are words we need to carefully consider as we earnestly seek to serve him in spirit and truth, making sure that we are shining the light of his truth continually and consistently. Continually and consistently. That's what people want to see. They want to see if you continue with it and how consistent you are with it. As we do our utmost to properly reflect his truth in our daily lives before all. We as taught ones, disciples of Messiah, are the light of the world. This is certainly a wonderful thing indeed, yet comes with a very clear responsibility, and that is to shine continually. The Greek word that is translated as light in Matthew 5:14 is phos, Strong's G5457, which means light, fire, which comes from the word phos, which means to shine or make manifest, especially by rays. In other words, it comes with a responsibility, and that is to shine continually. It's our responsibility to make sure our light is shining continually. What does that mean? That light is shining just on your good days? No. When you're going through something, when you're feeling your worst, that's when that light ought to shine the most. That's, you want to get people's attention? When somebody know you going through it and you still can stand and give him praise, glory, and honor, that's when they know you tapped into something. That's when they know, well, hey, he's serious about that Yehovah that he served. He's serious about the God that he served. Because, man, how can he be going through it? Old Job, huh? Lost everything. Wife. Curse God and die. I mean, curse God. He said, you speak like a foolish woman. Somebody tells you, well, man, you going through it. Why are you still going to church? What? I'm doing better than you. Still give him the glory and honor. That light need to be burning. Flame hot. That's what they want to see. That you still can give him glory and honor, even though you're going through it. You done been through the ringer. But yet I'm still here. Still standing. Still giving glory to the Most High. This Greek word is used in the Septuagint, Greek translation of the Tanakh, the Old Testament, in the following verse, Exodus 27:20. And you are to command the children of Israel to bring you clear all of pressed olives for the light to cause the lamp to burn continually. You, somebody say me, bring the all. You bring your all. You want your lamp to burn continually? You bring your all. Not the pastor's responsibility to bring the all. Not my wife's responsibility to bring my all. It's not my husband. It's not my parents. It's your responsibility to bring your all. If your lamp went out, remember, it's your fault. Nobody else's fault. Because you didn't bring your all. The Hebrew word that's translated as light in this verse is meror. Strong's H3974, which means a luminary, light and shining. It comes from the root word or. Strong's H215, meaning to be or become light, give light and shine. To give light. Not only just for you. Give it. Somebody's in darkness. They need that light. They're looking for that light. The Hebrew word that is used here for lamp is near. Strong's H5216, meaning lamp, candle, and light. Now, a lamp in ancient times would primarily be a vessel with a wick for burning a liquid such as oil, in order to produce light. And as one would walk, the lamp would typically be carried in one's hand. The Greek word used in Matthew 5:15 for lamp is lupnos, Strong's G3088, and is the Greek word used in the Septuagint for the Hebrew word ner, Strong's H5216. And this call to keep our lamps burning reminds us of the clear instruction for the priesthood that were to make sure that the lamp would burn continually. I'm going to stop right here. It's for the priesthood to make sure that the lamp would burn continually. Your responsibility to make sure your lamp burns continually. And make sure that your wood is in order. Not just throw it down. And expect Yeshua to fix it. Expect him to come and put everything like it should. No, take responsibility. Make sure that you took the time out to pray this week. You took your time out to read. Nobody texted you or called you. You took the time out to make sure you prepared yourself to come to Shabbat and Bible study and men's meeting and ladies' meeting. All those, make sure they're in order. It's your responsibility. Amen? So good to us. Let's stand. What an honor. So thankful.